You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Whoa!
Nope. I like mine better.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. Woo!
Whoa!
Nope. You're right. I was a little deep on that one.
you brought it up from too low. You brought it from your diaphragm. Right. You got to bring it from your throat.
I don't know if Woo! I can hit that note though, man. But still. Listen, that was fun. And appreciate Ric Flair for jumping on. Appreciate
and real man to jump on too. Yeah, real
yeah,
man
no,
to
it was
jump
cool.
on too.
It was cool. It was always good to talk to him. And yeah, he gets a little silly, like with some of the some of the stuff. But we got to keep him on point. But all right, so plenty to get to is hour number two. Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776. Be part of the conversation. We have a ton of calls to get to, and we will. But let's get to some more news of the day, Bart Scott, because. Right now, first of all, the thing we saw this morning that had everybody excited is Aaron Rodgers slow motion walking into the Jets facility. So I guess he's ready to go when it comes to off-season workouts.
Day one.
Isn't that nice?
Day one.
Got the mustache going.
Hey, so and, got the Nestor Cortez?
It's not the Nestor Cortez. It's
called the Nestor. Nasty Nestor.
Is it a Nestor? I don't know.
Nasty Nestor.
Okay. We can call it that then if that's what you want. But still, so there's that part of it. And before we get to the Giants stuff, just quickly on the Jet uniform thing that we saw.
Thumbs down.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
And what do you think of it?
I like it. I mean, I like the white on white. When you have that many combinations, the black on black, they can do the black. They can do so many different color combinations. I thought that's the best you can do with two colors. I always tell you, like, you need a third color, always a little better. They did a good job with the collar. I like what they did around the neck, which they can change the colors to green or white instead of just it being washed out. Only thing I would say, the only criticism I would say is with some of the clothes they should have, I hope they have white sanitaries on. With some of them, I don't want to see the green with the green sanitaries. You know what I mean?
What do you mean by sanitaries? What does that mean?
Sanitaries is what we call the socks.
Oh.
They're really called sanitaries. That's just the name for them, football sanitaries.
Okay.
Yep, yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when they wear the green on green, I don't want to see green socks. I want to see white socks. You know what I mean? Because I want to see the contrast, like a pop of white. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
We used to have a white. When we wear the green on green, we used to have a white with, like, the two little stripes. That's the traditional. The stripes that go around two stripes, like old tool socks.
Okay.
But, all in all, I like that a lot better. I'm trying to remember, like, with the jet on the top, is that a different design tone? I love when they wear the black and they put the black helmets on.
See, I'm with that. And I still say that they should eventually get to a point where the green is the secondary color and black is primary. Now, first of all, you think about it. Aaron Rodgers' darkness retreat, why wouldn't you wear all black, right? Like, you can always call those games, instead of calling it, like, the blackout or any of the stuff you want to do. No, it's called the darkness retreat.
Well, you got two colors where you can wear, like, the color out. You can wear the all black. And then you can wear the all green.
That's
like
the green shouldn't be the primary anymore. Anyway, the logo you're talking about is Jets with the jet that goes across the top of the word Jets. That's from the 80s, right? That's the logo that they went through with in the 80s. They also have a secondary logo that's just NY with the jet above the NY, which is kind of I kind of like that too. That's
pretty sweet.
It was
time for a refresh. I didn't like those other ones. Look too close to other uniforms. Look too close to the old Denver Broncos, which was an old remix, from Reebok. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nike sometimes go too far. I'm glad they went back to something traditional. Kind of gives you that Penn State feel. You know what I mean?
The two-color thing? Yeah.
Yeah, just the fact that they don't have piping around it on certain things.
Yeah.
And that's the best you can do with two colors, in my opinion.
I love the black helmet that has green, I should say. Yes, green face mask, Jets in black outlined in white. That's badass. And it's a matte. It's not shiny. I think that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I probably wear them twice a year, maybe.
Really?
Because those become the alternative, so they'll wear them twice a year because that's not the primary color. That's the third color.
Okay. Well, anyways, that's what it. That's the new look. It's like kind of an old.
I'm glad they buried it.
It's an updated old look.
Yeah, I'm glad they buried it because now it gives us new hope that, okay, we can start over fresh. Instead of wearing the same uniforms last year, that was bad luck for us. Let's get a whole new uniform.
Yeah, that's a great point. Although, again, it's a similar look from the past, so it's not too crazy. But, anyways, that's the Jets part of this whole conversation. That and Aaron Rodgers being at the facility, all things to get you excited. But on the other side of it is, of course, it's on the Giants part of the conversation. And that is, first and foremost, something that was very interesting that Brian Daboll said or didn't say in regards to Darren Waller. Now, remember, the tight end, there was talk that he was considering retirement, but that hasn't really come to fruition at this point. But, like, you know, so, okay, is he showing up? Where is he? What's the story here? And here's how Daboll responded.
He's treating the end of OTAs as kind of his deadline. So do you expect him here at all for phase one, phase two? What have your conversations been like?
Understand the question completely, Rye. Have nothing to add on that from what Joe talked about a couple of weeks ago in the ownership meeting. And, you know, again, I just go back to our attendance was very happy and pleased with our attendance. But so in terms of Darren's specific situation, I'm going to keep that in-house and nothing to add at this time.
Keep that in-house.
They're hoping he retires so they can get some more of that money.
Now, he said again, like what you just heard there, the question at the end of the OTAs, that he would kind of know what he wants to do.
But that's crazy.
And he said this was the quote last week. That would be ideal, but I also don't want to put that on myself. It's got to be before summer break for sure.
That's crazy, man.
So
that's
he
crazy.
Still doesn't know. You know, he said, I have to make a decision at some point. You have to be 100% bought in for the grind, and I have to make sure I am bringing that to the table or it's a disservice to the guys I'm suiting up with. I also want to give the team time. Whichever way I go, they can prepare for next season. It's a little bit of a difficult decision, but here we are. Does this part suddenly impact what they do in the draft, and could Brock Bowers suddenly become an option for them, the tight end that everybody thinks is a generational talent, with the Giants instead of going wide receiver? Consider going here, maybe trade back and do this.
But this is the thing. Like, I need to know before the draft, bro. Like, forget all the
other stuff. My whole point. I would want to know.
Because if you did it for the draft, guess what I would do? I might go out and get Bowers. And then I might say, you know what? Now that I got this second-round draft pick, because I got Bowers, I might take this second-round draft pick, and now I got extra salary cap space and make a trade for Brandon Ayuk.
Ooh.
Or make a trade for T. Higgins. Like, listen, what are we talking about, son? I can get Bowers and T. Higgins? Listen, or I can get Brandon Ayuk and T. Higgins? I mean, Brandon Ayuk and Bowers?
What would you do if you were Joe Shane right now? Because I'm our Joe Shane right now. What is one thing we know about players who are contemplating retirement? What does that mean?
They're already retired.
Thank you.
Like, look at what happened with Aaron Donald.
I would be expecting it. Like, I'm expecting him to tell me he's not going to play. And if that's the case, I better change my plan going into this draft. Because if Bowers is what everybody's saying he is, generational talent, like, this is a gold jacket guy, you're going to need a tight end, and you need a skill player. You don't have many of them. Do you do this instead? Like, Jets and Giants could actually trade and help each other. Think about that. They could trade and help each other. Get what they want. Get what they need.
Yeah, and they, you know, I mean, the Giants would get crazy assets. At this point, the Giants can move back with the Bears if they wanted to. You know what I'm saying? Bears got extra assets.
That's a good point. Yeah, you're right.
So they can move right there and grab Bowers. Yeah, and they can grab Bowers right in front of the Jets.
Because
more beef.
You'd have to decide which is the more impactful player, which is the more can't-miss prospect. Would it be Bowers at tight end, or would it be Neighbors or Adunze? That's what you'd have to know with your evaluation, is which guy is the bigger impact for us almost immediately. And then you say to yourself, well, we're going to need a tight end now. And this guy is absolutely what everybody is saying about him is a generational talent.
Yeah, but I don't know if I want to take that at six. I don't know if I want to take
you're not
that at six.
I know there's no way you take it at six, but if I can get assets, if I can get another pick.
Well, look how many people that might be wanting to move up for a quarterback.
For a quarterback at six, right. Like, you could see – who would be at six, I guess.
You got to really ask yourself, J.J. McCarthy should be there at 6.
Yeah, that's right.
You really got to ask yourself, hey, can you get Minnesota to come up there and will Browers be there at 11? That's risky. Will he get past the Jets?
I think he would.
But this is the thing, though.
The Jets would take a Dunze if he's there.
But then the Bears are going to take a Dunze at 9.
Well, who's taking Neighbors if the Giants are moving back?
Who's taking Neighbors? Probably, I think San Diego takes Neighbors.
I thought they – really?
I mean, I think they like Neighbors. They got to replace Keenan Allen and Mike Williams.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, like, you –
doesn't this get really interesting? This gets really interesting. And what he's saying and what Waller's saying, I mean, especially because you can hear it in Dable, like, you know, we're keeping that in-house. Keeping that in-house is clearly like we have no idea what he's going to do.
Man, this reminds me of the Corey Davis situation last year.
Although the Corey Davis thing happened during training camp, if I'm not mistaken, right? Mm-hmm. Wasn't that during training camp? That wasn't during mini camps.
Yeah, but it was during training camp.
Right. I just said that. But it was too late, right? The Jets couldn't react because it was too late.
Yeah.
It's early. It's before the draft. You can actually draft a talented player in an area of need that you didn't know was an area of need. Now you do.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I need information. I can't wait till summertime. Summertime, all you giving me is salary cap relief.
Yeah.
And then I'm signing somebody late. I don't like that.
You got to know now. Yeah, I agree with you. He said before the summer break. So before, I guess before all the mini camps are over, you take that break. You always talk about this, that little break before you come back for training camp, right?
Yeah, 6 weeks.
He's talking about that. So, well, it's that part's an interesting scenario. And obviously what the Giants are also looking for is what is their quarterback future going to be? Well, they know what it is, at least right now, the immediate future right now. And that's what Dable has said it, and he has been firm on it. So is Joe Shane, that the quarterback for the now is still Daniel Jones. He is working his way back, of course, from knee surgery. And he wants to be available in time for the start of the regular season. But even he has to know that he's on borrowed time and that this group clearly is looking to get out of the contract and find their own quarterback, which means who knows if he even is considered the best option at quarterback for this season. Daniel Jones was asked about that, and of course he gave the obvious answer.
If you're healthy, this summer in training camp, which you hope to be, and going on into the season, you feel you're the best quarterback that the Giants could have to start their season with?
I do, yes.
I mean, I wouldn't expect any other answer.
To start the season? What are you trying to say, son? I'm ushering in somebody else, B?
Well, imagine if he said, no, I don't think I am. But this is the question that I think is the bigger one, is that how would you feel if the Giants drafted a quarterback with their first round pick?
You know, my focus is what I'm doing here with my rehab, you know, kind of the same thing with Saquon. It's, you know, the nature of our business. It's a competitive league. So, you know, the best way to handle that, I think, is to focus on what I'm doing, focus on myself and making sure that I'm, you know, one, healthy and then ready to play good football. So, you know, that's what I can control. That's what I can do to help myself.
And Bart, doesn't he sound like that? That sounds very detached, doesn't it? He's talking to you like, I know this is a business, so I'm just taking care of me. And because I know that I got to put good tape out there, so whatever my future is, somebody's going to want me. He doesn't sound like, I want to win for the Giants, I'm here for the Giants. You don't hear any of that now. This is a strictly like business relationship that he's dealing with.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say, man. I think that he sees the writing on the wall. He just watched what happened to Saquon. Saquon did everything that he could do,
right,
within his power. So even if he plays, Daniel Jones plays lights out, just the lure, I think, of them getting their own guy in there, they were forced. I feel like they were forced into something that they didn't really want to be a part of. And now, you know, they see an out. They see an out to be able to start over. When you get a new quarterback, that gives you more time on your contract and all that type of stuff as well. So I just see them saying, you know what, thank you, Daniel, but you probably can do better somewhere else.
Yeah.
I mean,
so he's going to use them. They're going to use him. But neither one of them really care about each other. They're just staying together because it's convenient right now.
Yeah, look what Justin Fields did. Justin Fields couldn't have did anything more.
Good point.
You know what I mean? He won seven games. He was injured, came back, won seven games. They were trending in the right direction. They had an opportunity to allow Justin Fields to have all those great players that they got for whatever young quarterback come in. And they decided to say, you know what? No, we're good. Like, but I can do magic with Keenan Allen and DJ. No, we good. But you can go out and you can get me. You can trade this pick and you can get 3 first-round picks for next year. And you can have 2 first-round picks for the next 3 years. If you just move off this pick, you still got number 9 and you can still have it. No, we good.
Yeah. No. They were dead set on the fact that they had gotten the – first of all, you missed out on the chance to get C.J. Stroud.
Yep.
But you have a pick now that can get you the best quarterback in the draft and start over and reset and all that stuff. And again, for Ryan Poles, this is his quarterback now, not Justin Fields. He inherited Justin Fields.
Similar, so sounds familiar?
Yes, it does. I was just going to say, it's literally the same situation with the Giants. That was Dave Gettleman's pick, and this is not Joe Shane's pick. It's not Brian Daboll's pick. And what I think they saw was, while Daniel Jones fits sort of the way Brian Daboll wants to play at the quarterback position, mobility, obviously a big part of it, I think they also see the fact that he is injured, that it's now the neck, the knee, that he has gotten banged up, and that's your concern going forward, is a quarterback that can't stay healthy. So they want to reset there, find their quarterback that fits the style they want to play and resets the number so you're not paying $45 million for your quarterback. That's just the reality of the business. What just sucks about it is that both these entities – clearly have to live together, even though they both know there's no future between them. None. Right? Think about it. If you're Daniel, your motivation as Daniel Jones is to play for you.
Yeah.
You're playing for you.
Like, you bring somebody in, I ain't helping them with nothing.
But not even that. Not even the fact that I'm not helping him. Just think about it as just a perspective of winning games and let's rah-rah, be together, fight for each other and all that stuff.
Yeah. You're getting rid of me. You're getting rid of me and I think I'm in my prime. I mean, that's how I listen. He saw firsthand how Saquon dealt with it last year.
Yes,
and this is how I go, man. This is how they do you.
Yeah, no, that you could see it already, and you could hear it in his voice, the way he talked about it.
Do you believe you're the best? Yeah, man, no. I am.
Yeah, yeah.
For now, what do you mean for now?
Yeah, I am.
Ain't no placeholder.
But I know they don't think that way, so I'm here for me, team of me. All right, 800-919-3776.
Do y'all feel sorry for it? I would ask the people, is it anything that Daniel Jones can do to stave off the hostile takeover? Remember when Rex was going to get fired and they won the last games and then everybody applauded and he held his job for a year, I think, when he came in after the team showed some heart and all that stuff. Is it anything that Daniel Jones can do that can make
– to convince you that
Giants,
he should keep the job?
Like, you know what? Now that he has some players, maybe it was more about the lack of weapons that he had and the fact that Evan Neal or whatever. Mm-hmm. Make whatever excuse. Is it anything that Daniel Jones could be, or is this a done deal?
That's a great question. I mean, a fan perspective is one thing. What the team would do is another. And the only way that he keeps his job is if he has a great season, not a good one, and there's no better options out there. That's the other thing.
Coming up, the next year's draft doesn't
have anybody.
Thing is, Shedeur Sanders.
You're right, but that's that.
There's some other guys. He's not even ranked number one, but yeah.
Yeah. All right, 800-919-3776. So we got calls, plenty of them to get to. We certainly will do that, but you know what's coming up next. We do have audio files with lots going on in there, including some Doc Gooden for you as he was honored, Tom Thibodeau, and whether he even thought about maybe saying, you know what, we really don't want the 2 seed. We need the 3 seed. I think you know that. Answer and free chicken from Boban.
I love Boban.
All that
man.
And more coming up, but first, do want to tell you to bet the NBA play-in tournament with a no sweat same game parlay from FanDuel. Doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account, you'll get bonus bets back if your same game parlay doesn't win on any Tuesday night matchup. NBA same game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance to score a bigger payday. Well, we don't have any games tonight. But we do have the Western Conference 7, 8, and 9, 10 games in that think about it, man. Lakers, Pelicans, again, they stay in New Orleans. And the Lakers win this game. And they end up with the 7th seed. And they would have to play the Denver Nuggets is an interesting way to play this game. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in this show. However you want to play that game or others, just head to FanDuel.com/Allen to bet the NBA with a no-sweat same-game parlay. That's FanDuel.com/Allen. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 older, physically present in New York, minimum three-leg parlay required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. The expectations for the Knicks in the playoffs this year depends on who you ask. But earlier this morning on DiPietro and Rothenberg, guys were in agreement that it includes at least a first-round playoff series win.
This is not one of those situations where you won the first round of the playoffs and you go into the second and it's going up against a really good team. It's a hard-fought series. Maybe we'll say it goes seven. You end up losing. You won't be having those conversations if you lose. You're playing either one of these teams is a really good team, but it's still the first round. There will be no positives taken out of losing a first-round series.
Nothing. You will say Brunson's a star. Like, that's not going to change, and you're excited about OG and Hartenstein. You hope to re-sign him and all those things.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey. During tonight's action, glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so we got lots of calls to get to, and we will get back to those momentarily, so you stay with us. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. So while the calls can hold, this cannot, because right now, with all the things we had to talk about and still have to talk about, it is time for us, Bart Scott, to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files.
The Audio File.
And Audio Files on 98.7 ESPN. We're driven by Ramsey Mazda. The Knicks get their win to end the season on Sunday. They beat the Bulls in overtime. That's their 50th win of the season, but it's their first 50-win season since 2013. We're going back 11 years for that. It's only their second 50-win season in the last 24 years. So this has been a great year when it comes to as far as winning, and now they finish in second, which, is the highest they've finished since 2013 as well. All that aside, some fans were wondering, was winning this game the right thing? Because getting the 2 seed means a potential first-round matchup between the 2-7-8 combatants, which is Wednesday night. They will play each other in the play-in, and that is the Sixers and the Heat. One of them will end up playing the Knicks in the first round. And so when we were watching games on Sunday, you were noticing certain teams like the Bucks suddenly decide, well, Giannis didn't play, and then all of a sudden Lillard comes out of the game. They end up getting smoked in that game. They drop to the third. Cleveland Cavaliers, if they had won that game, would have gotten second place because they would have won their division. But all of a sudden they pull their starters when they're playing Charlotte, who's playing for nothing, and Charlotte ends up winning the game. The Cavs take the L, and they drop to the fourth seed. They'll play the Magic in the first round. So Tom Thibodeau was asked, with all this going on, did you ever think about pulling your starters?
We just play. I can't speak for Cleveland. Cleveland does what they think feels best for their organization. We do what we think is best for our organization.
How would you feel, Bart, if during a game, a close game at home, coach is like, all right, come on, have a seat?
Hey, man, I've witnessed this. I remember when Caldwell pulled out Peyton Manning and everybody set him down. Like, no, nah, right. We good.
It worked out for them, though.
Yeah, almost bit him in the ass because we was on that ass for a minute.
Yeah, but
no
Diddy. But it still worked out for him though, didn't it?
You know what? We got to say no.
No what?
No Jaden now. You see what the hell he did? Like, what's his name? Jaden Smith.
Yeah.
See what he did to Justin Bieber, hugging him from behind and wiggled on his butt, and then Justin Bieber kissed him on the face. Like, God, Lee, man,
I did not see the kiss on the face thing.
Yeah, emasculation. It's like, come on, man. Like, come on now.
I didn't see that.
I know girls do that to each other, but y'all got little wiggly things in front. Like, he went behind him, hugged him from behind, and wiggled, and then kissed him on the cheek. I'm like, man, what are we doing, man? So, I don't know. Instead of saying no Diddy, we got to say no Jay. It was at Coachella this weekend, man. There's been a lot of stuff going on, man, these streets. Black Twitter's on fire. Black Twitter on fire, man.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there because all the different beefs between the rappers now that's going on.
Well, that's good, though. Like, that's good. I want to see pin the pad, baby. I want to see Survival of the Fittest. I want to see people get at it. We had Biggie and Tupac. Now, that was a violent type of thing, though, because the crews didn't know how to act. But this is all about the penmanship. This ain't got nothing to do with nothing.
Okay.
So, you know, hopefully we get good music. We get good, like, beef and coming at each other. But, yeah. But, yeah, I witnessed this with Dave Caldwell, Coach Caldwell, that sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. It depends. All you have to do is make sure you're together. And if they were to pull people out and Tibbs, like, no, we got a greater, you know, why we're in the battle when we can win the war, we're trying to win the war, then I would understood. But if he decided to play him because he wants to set a precedent that we play whenever they put the ball out there, we're trying to win, then that's good for the culture as well.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, you know, Tom Thibodeau wanted to win this game. The team wanted to win this game and let the chips fall where they may. And it's either going to be the Sixers or the Heat. And we'll take calls on which team you think. Who are you rooting for? Because whoever wins the game is going to play the Knicks. Which team are you rooting for?
Who you won't.
Who do you want? 800-919-3776. We might as well start that conversation now. Meanwhile, continuing on Audio Files, yesterday, you know what else was happening here in New York? Doc Gooden came home. Dwight Gooden had his number 16 retired by the Mets in a pregame ceremony. I mean, arguably the second best pitcher in franchise history, right? Tom Seaver's got to be at the top of that list. But Doc Gooden, in his time there, it was short, but it was sweet. He was, I mean, an absolute fireballer when he came into the league in 1984 and was special and was part of, obviously, the 86 championship season. So it wasn't his best year, but still, he was a beloved Met at that time. Moved on to the Yankees, but the Mets did the right thing by honoring him. And for Doc, having his number retired meant the world to him.
It means a great deal to me. Seaver was a good friend of mine. I got to know Tom a little bit. Just to be in that situation with those guys means a great deal. And not only that, but I look at it as, obviously, my number's going up there, but I'm the guy that's going up there. But it's for all of us because it don't happen without these guys. My teammates been there as well. But it's a great honor to be up there. You know, I'd like to say that one of the highest honors you can be getting. And next to Willie, who everybody knows Willie. I got to know Willie a little bit. It means a great deal. But just to have my number up there amongst those guys means a lot.
And so, you know who was there amongst all of his former teammates? And this was a bit of a surprise. Daryl Strawberry. As we know, Straw has been publicly critical of Doc at times because of Doc's ongoing issues with substance abuse, that he has been fighting this ever since his days with the Mets. And Doc
fight.
Has been open to him about, hey, like, you know, get help, get right. Like, and Daryl went through it himself. The two of them together have great chemistry. They've done a lot of – we actually had them, I think, at the station a couple of times together. Yeah.
They got a documentary together, man. Yeah, come on, man. They go together like peanut butter and jelly, man.
Yeah. But Doc and Daryl, obviously. But and the two of them won championships, obviously, with the Yankees together. But here, you know, the fact that Straw showed up for this, though, also important for Doc.
I didn't know until I seen him today. You know, we've texted each other, we've talked. I didn't know he was going to be here today. It's good to see Daryl. You know, it'll always be Daryl and Doc, or Doc and Daryl. We'll always be connected. And I'm just as happy for him, the things he's accomplished in his life first as a man, what he's got going with his ministry. Very proud of him because I know Daryl, the person. Obviously, we've had ups and downs, but things happen. We know when you're close, you're going to have those things, but we've been able to work it out. I think we're closer now. To see Daryl, when I saw him, I was very happy to see him, man. It just brought joy to me that he took out the opportunity to make it here today, to enjoy this day with me as well. And when he has his day June 1st, I'll be just as excited for him as I am for myself today.
Yeah, obviously, his number 18 is going to be retired by the Mets coming in June. Can I say this about
Mets?
Daryl Strawberry?
Mets is in a given world, man.
Well, it's the right thing to do.
A team that never did anything. This is all Cohen.
Yes.
You talk about a team that never did anything, didn't get the statue for Seaver. Not their overshare. They got to catch up.
Well, but this isn't even these two guys both deserve.
Now they mentioned David Wright. I'm saying no, we ain't doing
soon.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, too soon.
But can I say this about Daryl Strawberry, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy that, as you remember, he came into the league as a young man, and there were issues. He and Hernandez had issues. Like, you know, he had a bit of an attitude. You know the whole documentary. Like, he even admits it. He came into the league with a swagger and a confidence. He's been being young, where he came from, and all that stuff. What Daryl Strawberry has become as a human being is a good man who tries to help people, who cares. And he didn't have to go to this.
Yeah, so many people
for him to show
up
because he knew how important it was to Doc, and I'm still going to be there for him despite the issues that they have had together.
Yeah, this
just shows you what kind of man he is.
Yeah,
I respect
that. Yep, this is bigger than that, right? This is a special moment. You love your teammates. Sometimes you guys can bicker. Sometimes you can have disagreements, but this is something that transcends. This is about, you know, a lifetime achievement. This is a huge moment. If he wouldn't have went there, that would have hurt, right?
And everybody would have noticed it. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to hurt. Like, this is opportunity for, like, because you don't want that to be the conversation on this great day. Where's Daryl?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that eliminate all that and allow it to be a day that's about celebration, not about who's not there.
And in the end, the Mets were able to celebrate because they were able to come back. They could not. They just couldn't score. But 2-1 win over the Royals, so they get that win, too, to seal the day and make it a good day overall.
Almost 500.
Yeah. Now, look, again. You know, things. It's such a long season. You don't want to overreact to tough starts. Meanwhile, on the other side of things, the Yankees had a chance to sweep in Cleveland, and it looked like they were going to do it. Rizzo had a big hit in the 10th, and all of a sudden, you're like, oh, they might win this thing too. 7-5. They were up early. Judge hit a home run. Cortez didn't have a great start.
Did it land yet?
Yeah, I know. He hit that a mile. But they ended up blowing the lead. They lose the game. And so, again, it's the first loss they've had, a one-run loss for the season. So they've been winning games. They've been playing well. They weren't able to get the sweep. Aaron Judge discussing the L.
Yeah, it's always a tough one. Anyone you lose is a tough one. But, you know, guys were fighting until the end. You know, they came up with some big at-bats. We came up with some big at-bats. And, you know, I feel like all series, guys were just competing up there and, you know, kind of doing their thing. And we just weren't able to pull this one out in the end.
I think you need more from Nestor Cortez, right? He talked about his outing.
I think I was out in a lot of 2-2, 3-2 counts, a lot of foul balls, but I felt like myself was really good overall.
And he also had another one of his little, like, tricky windups. You know, I don't know if you saw that in the second inning. So, you know, again, baseball season underway. You know,
he's two up and down, and then he's steady Eddie from Nestor. Last outing, 8 innings strong. You know,
well, remember, who was it against? It was against the Marlins.
Marlins, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I mean. It's like, look at the opponent, and that's part of this problem. Like him, I'm telling you, him and Rodon are guys that each outing you're like, I don't know what we're getting tonight. Right? Like, that's what you get. I don't know what we're getting. And that's a problem. But look, they're surviving through it. Good to see Judge hit one out. Like, got to get him rolling. But still, defense a little sloppy, but it's early. Still early. The weather's just starting to warm up, too. That's always when the game gets better. Last but not least, if I may, back to basketball, because, well, they have in the NBA arenas, they have these moments where if the opponent misses both free throws, the crowd wins something.
For cheering.
And so this was, I think, a Chick-fil-A, right? This was for Chick-fil-A. Free Chick-fil-A. Who doesn't want free Chick-fil-A? So Boban.
Oh, hold on. Whoa. Chick-fil-A on Sunday?
It was some kind of.
They got Chick-fil-A open in the stadiums, then Chick-fil-A need to be open out here. We need to protest.
They don't have it open in the stadiums.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong. If all it was I know Chick-fil-A, is that okay. It was definitely chicken. Okay. I don't know if it exactly was Chick-fil-A. I don't know exactly what I can get you.
Okay,
that
I'm sorry. I was just looking for controversy. Okay. I apologize.
So again, Boban, as you know, has played in a lot. It was Chick-fil-A. You get a free Chick-fil-A sandwich. So I was right.
Chick-fil-A gonna shut them down.
But you got to miss both free throws. Okay. So here's Boban, who everybody loves. He's played on a million teams, but everybody loves him.
Everybody loves him.
So he misses the first free throw. And he knows, he's well aware of the fact that if he misses the second one, that everybody gets free chicken. So he's waving to the crowd before the, and then this happens.
Fans are getting excited here. There might potentially be some free chicken on the board if he misses the second free throw.
Oh man, free chicken on the board.
Yeah, so that's why the fans are getting a little frothy.
Oh, they're pointing to, Boban's playing with the crowd, say you want chicken?
Here's your job.
No, he gave him chicken. He's the man of the people.
He did that on purpose.
He did. He gave out free chicken.
He missed a free throw on purpose. The
Chick-fil-A
game didn't matter to the Rockets. It didn't matter to the Clippers. But the Clippers are locked in. The Rockets aren't making the playoffs. So
Chick-fil-A
it's not like,
damn it! Fire up the grill. Fire up the damn grill. Damn
free
it!
Chick-fil-A in L.A., baby.
Hey, like, anybody out there? I need to figure out why Chick-fil-A is open in the stadiums, but all the Chick-fil-A stores are closed.
It's not open in the stadium. It's not.
How did they get Chick-fil-A if it's not open?
You get your ticket, and then on Monday you can, like today with your ticket, okay, you can get your free sandwich.
Okay. We're about to march.
We're about to march.
We shall overcome.
I mean, I don't know about overcoming anything. It's
just because Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays.
I know. Well, you know they have a Chick-fil-A in the Georgia, not the Georgia Dome. What's it called now? The Mercedes-Benz something.
Yeah,
or
yeah,
other,
it's
that,
close
right,
enough.
Right?
Atlanta have
in Atlanta. They have one in the arena. And it's hilarious in the stadium, but when the Falcons play, you can't get it.
That's crazy. So why the hell we got one? What other day is
this? Because I believe
be
there's games on Saturdays. There's also games on Thursdays, and there's also games on Mondays.
For who?
And concerts as well.
Man, that's the dumbest
thing
ever.
Doesn't Georgia play there sometimes, right? They have college games on Saturday.
Maybe once. They have a tournament there. That's
Falcons
a dumb
could play on a Thursday. The Falcons could play on a Monday.
That's a dumb use of a space.
I agree. But that's what they did. Anyways, that is Audio Files driven by Ramsey Mazda. It's the experience of driving a new Mazda and buying a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. We will choose to talk to you next. 800-919-3776. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776 is the number. So the question you asked, Bart, in the Giants conversation was about Daniel Jones, right?
Yeah.
you were wondering how Giants fans feel. Like, what can he do to keep his job? Which I don't think there's anything he can do. It just sounds like if you hear him talking today, it sounds like this is a business relationship now. It is no longer like I bleed Giants blue. I want to win for the Giants. I'm all about the Giants.
Yeah, but relationships can change and can get improved. You know what I mean? Okay. I just want to know, like, what is it that Daniel Jones can do in the eyes of you guys as well?
Okay.
To kind of say, you know what, he it was a product of, you know, guys was hurt. Evan Neal couldn't protect him. He didn't play with Saquon. This guy is the truth. You know, I mean, we act like this guy can't get any better. I mean, you can't tell me it's no chance.
Okay. All right. So there's that question. The other one is with the Knicks now in the two seed, locked in, we can no longer say anything about whether they have won or not. It's over. They won. Now you wait to see who wins the 7-8 game for the seventh seed, and that'll be your first-round opponent. That 7-8 game is Wednesday night in Philadelphia, and it's the Heat and the Sixers. So the question is simply this, Knicks fans, who you want? Who you rooting for? Out of those two, let's pick your poison.
Choose your opponent.
Yeah. Who do you want for the first round of the playoffs? 800-919-3776. Billy in Brooklyn. Billy.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Bring on the Sixers. Let's just get them out the way. And regardless of what happens in the playoffs, we have a really good team moving forward. We finally have a shooting guard, which we were missing. Dante has been amazing. Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Billy. I mean, it's true. Who knew that Dante DiVincenzo would end up being the starting two guard next to Brunson that fit the best?
Would you get Dante DiVincenzo up out of there for Paul George?
Well, Paul George isn't a two. He's a three.
Oh, okay.
So you wouldn't have to worry about that. It's Donovan Mitchell. That's the question.
But you're
Donovan Mitchell's available. Would you make that move knowing how well Dante DiVincenzo – like, put it this way. DiVincenzo has – he didn't start the whole season, remember. He didn't move into the starting lineup till like, almost a quarter of the way in. He's going to be – he's a two – what did he hit? 279, I think, threes. He can hit 300 threes next season.
But do you want him coming off the bench?
That's the question. Is he the right fit?
That was his initial role.
And let's not forget, his defense has been excellent this year, too. He's been very good defensively. He's one of the tops in the league in deflections and everything else. Like, would you want to just keep that? Or if you could get Donovan Mitchell, are you like, nah, you got to get Donovan Mitchell. Like, you put him next to Brunson and bring DiVincenzo off the bench. DiVincenzo is extremely cheap as a starter, salary-wise. But he does fit really well. Are you locked in with him? Like, are you like, no, you're all set there. Let's continue with calls with Xavier in Brooklyn. Xavier.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Big-time Knicks fan. You know, I love you guys' show.
Thank you.
I'm 29 years old, man, and the last time the Knicks won the playoffs, it was 2012-2013 season. And
the last time
then,
they were in the playoffs?
Well, that they had a 50-win season.
Yeah, 50-win. Right, okay. I was just making sure. Yeah.
But what killed us that couldn't get us into the Eastern Conference that year, the Eastern Conference Finals, was that J.R. Smith went cold. Jason Kidd couldn't, you know, hit a three. So it was really Melo on his own. And also Chris Copeland was, you know, he stepped up big for us at that time.
How about that?
But my question to you guys is, Is this team good enough to get to the Eastern Conference Finals? And if so, who's going to be our X factor going into, you know, the playoffs? That's going to be very important.
It's got to be OG, in my opinion. OG. OG has to be able to create some offense, but also get those, you know, stops and stop those other teams with the good wings. You know what I mean? That's what he's here for, to slow those guys down so you can be able to get instant offense off his turnovers, his deflections, his height, his versatility. It has to be him.
That's a really good one. I have another X factor for you, because a lot like OG is like a given when you think about, yeah, of course he's got to play well. Of course you got to get something out of, you know, Hartenstein, right? I think Bojan Bogdanović is the X factor.
Ooh.
He's starting to find his game and figure out his role now. Like the last 2 weeks of the season, you're starting to see him give you double figures off the bench and make some shots, and he's starting to figure it out. If he could provide scoring off the bench at the double figures level in the playoffs, in a playoff series, that could be critical. A guy like that, who's a professional scorer, who's a competitor, who's an experienced veteran, That to me is a big X factor. A big X factor. So let's look forward. 800-919-3776 is who you
nobody,
want.
Nobody said Burks.
I don't think we're going to see him.
Are they going to cut him before? Yeah, they're going to cut him before the playoffs. He's not even going to be active.
Yeah, I think he's there. Right
now, we'll put Jericho Sims going to eat your spot,
not
up, buddy.
Play him. 800-919-3776. The Power Hour is coming up, and so again, let's just get it on the line now. Who do you want? Sixers or the Heat? Who you rooting for? Who would you rather see in the first round? Because that's your matchup. It's coming. 800-919-3776. Bart and Hunt, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So yesterday was Doc Gooden Day for the Mets and their Met fans. Earlier this morning on DPHRO and Rothenberg, Rick and Dave said they'll not be a pitcher like Gooden again anytime soon.
16 complete games in 85. 8 of them were shutouts.
It's wild, but it's missing in our game now.
I mean, listen, I got to be honest with you. I don't think you'll ever see it again. You think you're going to see a guy have 16 complete games in a season?
No. As far as the entertainment value, when Jacob DeGrom was on that run, you wanted to be at the ballpark because you wanted to feel the energy.
You had to
and
watch
if you couldn't
what
be at the
happening.
Ballpark, you were definitely watching it. You could not miss it because you were going to see something special.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.